This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you today, as I am every weekday, Monday through Friday, right here at 11 a.m. Eastern Time for Women of Grace Live. Today is Wednesday. It's a special Wednesday, isn't it? It's Ash Wednesday, and I certainly do hope that you have already determined how it is that you will live this Lent. But if you haven't, well, this is the day. This is the day to sit down and to begin to plot it out, to begin to plan it through the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, being open and receptive to the way in which He might lead you, the way in which He might tell you to go, which might be a whole new way in which you have ever lived the Lenten season before. So do be open to that, because I'll tell you, when we're open to the Holy Spirit, abundant graces come our way. And that is what Lent is about. It's about receiving the graces that God wants us to receive as we prepare for the beautiful, beautiful time of our Triduum in the church and ultimately Resurrection Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. So be open to the Holy Spirit. See how it is that He is leading and is guiding you. Also, because it is Wednesday, you know it's a wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live, and Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to be talking about the weird and the wacky as we do every Wednesday. We're eager to receive your questions about anything that you want to discuss, but we do, particularly on Wednesdays, like to be very specific with regard to this topic. 833-288-EWTN. That's the toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Matt Kibinski is out there on the phones. He will take your call and get your information up on the board, and then we'll take your call and we will be able to chit-chat together. If you are a first-time caller, I sure do want to know about it. I've got a bell here and I like to ring it, and I ring it for our first-time callers, for your debut. So if you're a first-time caller, do let us know. In addition to that, we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. We will get it retrieved. Pedro Quiles does the retrieving. If you're a first-time submitter, again, we want to know, because we will ring that bell for you as well. So those are the two primary ways in which we encourage you to get in touch with us. But yet another way is by texting us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Give us your question or comment, and we will get that up on the board and we will address it. If you're outside of North America, here's your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. All of those ways available to you. I do like to take a few moments at the beginning of the program to remind you about the upcoming events at Women of Grace. And we've got a big one coming up this Friday night. I'm so excited about it. I hope you are too. I hope that you're planning on joining us. It is our Young Women of Grace online event for teen girls. And of course, we welcome the teen girls' moms, grandmas, aunties, godmothers, as well as their teachers and very good friends who would like to be present for this event. It's a free event. Yes, it's a free event. All you have to do is give us your contact information so we can send you the link and you can be with us via Zoom for this beautiful evening for the young women this Friday, March 7th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, running to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is a lovely event that is centered around this theme: virtuous friendship, walking in love, growing in grace. Virtuous friendship, walking in love, growing in grace. So we're inviting teen girls, and that's teen girls from 13 all the way up to 19. We are inviting you to join us for this beautiful, beautiful online event. Cindy Westbrook, who is one of our premier Young Women of Grace facilitators, is going to be with us. She's going to be leading the evening for us. She will be making a presentation. We're going to have some super segments that are going to be great. great fun. The girls are going to get to know two great saints who met in prison and became very good friends, Saints Perpetua and Felicity. They will learn a word, yes, a Catholic word that they should add to their Catholic lexicon. They'll find out what the Catechism has to say about virtuous friendship. They'll pray a decade of the Rosary together, and there's going to be skits. Some of the girls that are in Cindy Westbrook's Young Women of Grace group are going to be performing skits on friendship. I cannot wait to see those. I cannot wait. I understand that the girls picked the topics themselves. Of course, they had them approved by Cindy. In addition to that, they are acting them out. They wrote their own scripts. So it should be something really very wonderful to see. I did find out that my eldest granddaughter, Julia Benkovic, is going to be with us as well. She is completing her, she's in the midst of the second semester of her sophomore year there at Ave Maria University. And she's going to be joining us, participating in some of those super segments. So we're asking you to join us. I'll tell you, oftentimes people lament. And we hear moms lamenting, oh, my children, my daughters, I'm not really happy with the friends they're hanging around with and don't really know what to do to help them to make the important decisions that they have to make at this point in their life. Well, let us be of service to you and let us introduce your daughters to some other lovely young ladies who are striving to live according to the mind and the heart of Holy Mother Church, to live their lives as mirrors, a reflection of the wonder and the splendor that God has in mind for us as women. And so that is this Friday, March the 7th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, running until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, free. What is the location? Your home or wherever you're going to be. I don't know where you're going to be. But do get to our website. Click on that event. You'll see it in the slideshow. You'll see it down the left-hand side of our homepage there, listed under upcoming events. You'll also find it in the events section. If you click on the nav bar, those are three ways that you can get there. When you do click on it, it's going to take you to a landing page. It'll give you all of the info. It'll also have a register button. You'll register again. It's free. There's no charge to it. But we have to be able to get the link to you so that you can take advantage of this great opportunity. All of that coming up and so much more on with Women of Grace. We've got all kinds of things that are going on. So do check out our website. Check it out regularly because we're always adding new things. The New Age blog is constantly being updated by Sue Brinkman, who is with us, waiting in the wings. We're going to get to Sue right after that first break. Yes, and the New Age blog is always offering you new articles on very important topics that regard the New Age. It is truly a beautiful resource for you, and that is free of charge, of course, very accessible for you, as well as the podcast that Sue does that is located in our library. Click on library. You'll see all of our offerings there. The one that Sue does on the New Age is Grace Under Fire. Exposing the darkness, Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. So all of those resources and so many more resources right there at womenofgrace.com. Well, you do hear that music. We are going to that break. This is your day. It's a wacky Wednesday. Give us a call right here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, toll-free for you here in North America, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature's there for you. We're here for you, and we're coming right back to be with you right after this break. Well, there it is. That is Wacky Wednesday music coming at you right now. And that gives you a sense of what it is that we talk about right here on Wednesdays with Sue Brinkman, who is our regularly featured guest on Wednesdays. Oh, my goodness. Do we love and enjoy answering these questions? Not because of the subject matter, but because we know that in some way, the information that you are seeking is important to you. And the fact that we can, in most cases, give you you an answer regarding it makes us abundantly happy. Sue and I have been researching the New Age since since 1992, Sue shortly thereafter that. And through the years, she has continued to dig deeply into what is going on in the culture of the day, keeping up with all of the various iterations of the New Age that seem to come. It just keeps, mutating into other kinds of scurrilous activities, practices, as well as ideologies and modalities. It's not true to anything. It just becomes a conglomeration of a lot of things. And sometimes you really have to tease it out. You know, it's like a creature that has tentacles, that gets all wound up in a ball, and you have to tease out these different tentacles to see what is it that's making up the whole of what it is that we're looking at here. And Sue does a tremendous job of doing that. And we love bringing you that information. So any question that you have today that's related to the New Age, any question that you have that rising from something that you're seeing going on in the culture, or, heaven forbid, within your own family, or within your own life, you don't have to be afraid to call in. There is no question that sounds too bizarre, no question that sounds ridiculous, no question that you should look at and think, well, this is a pretty dumb question. There is no such thing as a dumb question. We want to be of service to you. And so it is that we do ask you to use our toll-free number if you're in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you are outside of North America, this is your number, North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. In addition to that, we're available for you out there in social media. Get to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Pedro Quiles will do the retrieving of your questions in social media land. Matt Kibensky will answer your phone. Rich Jesse is there in studio producing the program today. And Sue Brinkman is with us. Good morning. How are you, Sue?
I am doing just fine today, and you?
I'm doing well. You have your ashes. I'm going to Mass at noon to get my ashes, to begin Lent in a proper way. But boy, oh boy, they did a beautiful job on the sign of the cross on your forehead.
It wasn't that great. I'm telling you, it was a perfect sign of the cross.
I know. Sometimes they're just like smudges, but no, that one is very distinct. And I like when they're very, very distinct. It's very nice when that happens. But all of that being said, here we are. And of course, we think about Lent and we think about that in connection with all of this New Age stuff. And we realize that all of this is really an attack against our Lord and Savior and his great salvific act in our lives, and the grace that forever flows down Calvary's Hill into our lives when we open our hearts to receive it.
That's so true. That is so true, Johnette. And if people will just turn to him and stay with him, be faithful to him, stay with him, he will protect you from what's going on around out here. It's terrible. I mean, the number of possessed and oppressed people in the United States right now is higher than it has ever been before. And this is according to exorcists. It has never been so high.
Yes.
And we only have, in the United States, 150 exorcists. That's not a lot for
no.
a country of this side. That's not a lot of exorcists. And people need the help. But what is going on? Why do we have so few exorcists and then an explosion in the request for exorcists? Why is that going on? And I'm referencing now a blog by Monsignor Stephen Rossetti that he wrote just recently called Help, I Need an Exorcist, and it's excellent. You can read it. We were able, from his kind permission, to reprint it on our website. You can go to the New Age Q&A blog to read it, or you can go to his website, catholicexorcism.org, and read it there too. But he said, why is it that these levels of oppression and possession are so high? Well, first, because people aren't practicing the faith the way they used to. Mm-hmm. And the best spiritual protection, as we know, is the shield of faith in Christ. Second, who bothers with virtuous living anymore? That's on the decline in many, many areas. And sin creates the vulnerability to the evil one. That's how you open the door.
That's right.
Third, and particularly deadly, is the prevalence now of occult practices, witchcraft, divination, and other demonic portals. These have risen sharply. On Witch Talk, which is a subset of TikTok for witches, they have 30 billion views.
Oh my
on
goodness.
Witch Talk.
30
billion views. I go on TikTok and look at videos. I don't nowhere ever comes close to 30 billion views. So it's really out of control. And Monsignor says, you know, what do you do if you have demons? Because you've been involved in this stuff and you can't get an exorcist. And the first thing he says is don't panic. Really, what you can do is use ordinary means. He says there are ordinary means of ridding yourself of demons that are readily at hand. And I was so relieved to read this, Johnette, because we get at least one letter a week from somebody who got involved in this stuff, thinking it was okay, got burned, and now needs help and can't find it.
Yes.
And I was so relieved to see all the recommendations that he has in here for what to do if you are being attacked in some way by a demon. And the very first thing is confession.
Mm-hmm.
A good confession is worth more than an exorcism. So the sacraments are the primary means of ridding yourself from demons and sanctifying your souls. Get back to the sacraments, in particularly confession. And he recommends daily Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Start going to Mass every day if possible. He said that he was doing an exorcism not long ago, and he said to the demons, did he go to Mass this morning and receive Jesus in the Eucharist? And the demon answered with a howl of agony.
Mm.
A howl of agony. Couldn't bear the thought of that. Get close to the Eucharist. If you can't receive every day, stop in a church and just sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even for just a few minutes, and you'll be surprised at how much better you feel, how much peace comes over you. He works on you. While you're sitting in front of him, he works on you. And you don't even know what's going on. You don't even think you're praying all that great. He's working on you while you're sitting in there. Daily rosary. The rosary is so powerful. So powerful. And if necessary, the Monsignor says, deliverance prayers. You can go to deliverance prayers on his website, CatholicExorcism.org, or Auxilium Christianorum, their app, their website. You can do that. Do a deliverance prayer. And he says there's other effective deliverance spiritual practices, such as daily meditation on the Bible. These are all things that we can do, But now you have people who will say, but, oh, I've done all that, and I still have demons. And he says, well, when people say that to him, he asks them, okay, well, how long have you been praying? Well, for months or maybe just weeks. Or whatever. And he says, no. He says, for the truly possessed, liberation takes typically – now 2 to 4 years. That's someone who is truly possessed, and that's only if everything works well. And he said some residual demonic harassment can be lifelong, but if the person has been doing all this and living a virtuous life for many years, it may be that the discernment that demons are directly responsible is inaccurate. It might be something else
that's causing their suffering.
Maybe they need to see a counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oftentimes I think that we're too quick to assign credit to the evil one. We don't want to do that because he glories in that. He loves it. He loves it when we mistakenly think that he's responsible for all of our problems. The fact of the matter is sometimes we're responsible for our problems, you know. Sometimes, you know, we are living in a way that we ought not to be living in, or we are not working on those areas within our own being that are weak. Those San Andreas Fault lines that exist within us. And I was thinking, as you were sharing with us this excellent advice from Father Rossetti, in line with the season that we're beginning now, you know, and I was thinking to myself that, if we have not begun to put good, solid spiritual practices into our daily routine, this is the perfect time to begin it. Lent is 40 days long. by the time Lent is over, we are well on our way to establishing a holy habit that becomes very much a part of the way in which we live our life. And I want to say, you know, so we don't want to wait until we're in spiritual trouble to begin these spiritual practices. I mean, praying the rosary every day is something that our Blessed Mother asked for in Fatima, you know, back in 1917 when she appeared to the three little seers, the three little shepherd children, right? Pray the rosary every day. She warned about the tactics and the misery that the evil one wanted to bring into the life of man. She talked about that getting ratcheted up, and she said that the rosary is a sure defense. So we want to be daily prayers of the rosary. And if you haven't started it, this is the time. Does it require sacrifice? Yes. For a number of reasons. One, it's not a short prayer. Number two, because it isn't a short prayer, sometimes our mind wanders, right? So it takes discipline. It takes a constant curbing of the imagination to bring us back to a place of prayer sometimes. But this is all sacrifice, which is perfect during Lent. Confession. You know, Our Lady asked for, confession for the first Saturday of every month, right, in honor of her Immaculate Heart. This is the time. And if you've been away from the church, this is the time to come back. I want to tell you, it was really during the Lenten season that I came back to the church in the sense of making, a confession, and I hadn't been to confession in numbers and numbers of years. And I was concerned about it. How do you catalog your sins, over that many years? And the priest was so kind. He was so understanding. All of my fears were allayed, as I knelt there, truly contrite. The priest rejoices when someone who hasn't been to confession in a long time comes to confession. He rejoices in that. So, there's no reason to fear, right, Sue?
Oh, my goodness. And I think of my first confession after being away for 15 years. And I sat down and I start yucking it up, with the priest because I'm nervous and I'm scared, And I said, I went face to face. You think I would have gone in the box where I could have at least had some anonymity. But
I went face to face.
You were, oh, no. So I said, why don't I just tell you what I didn't do? Because otherwise you'll be here all night, And he thought that was real funny. And then he said, Sue, start with the worst thing and get it over with. So, I blurted it out, the worst thing, and I waited for him to keel over and have a heart attack. And, he didn't. And I said, okay, what's next? And boy, let me tell you, that response of his, I got so choked up. I thought, well, that is Jesus. That is the mercy of God. Look what he said. Yes. Okay. He doesn't dwell on it. He's not going to rub your nose in it. He doesn't do those things. He just says, okay, what's next? I thought, wow. I really felt forgiven in that moment. I never forget and will never forget that first confession until the day I die. And I'll remember it into eternity. It was a beautiful experience. It really was.
And the relief that comes. The thing of it is you don't realize, the burden that you're under until it's lifted. It was like, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. What have I been waiting for?
That is true. That is so true. I went home and had a big spaghetti and meatball dinner. I was celebrating. That was always my birthday dinner growing up, was spaghetti and meatballs. And I went home and I made that for myself. I'm celebrating. I thought, what am I celebrating? What's wrong with me? I even thought for a minute, I must be cracking up or something. I couldn't, what's wrong with me? Boy, that confession, I felt so good after that. I'm so glad you brought that up because that's very true. And it's something that you don't expect.
No.
Because you go there and you think, I was so nervous walking up to that rectory that my feet were like blocks of ice. I was so scared. And yet it couldn't have been a better experience for me. I remember it and my whole heart smiles from remembering that experience. Yeah. It was just, oh
so
my
warm.
Goodness. Yes.
You know what Mother Angelica used to say, and she has said, I think it's in one of the books. And by the way, if you haven't read the books that have been compiled from Mother Angelica's teachings, I really want to encourage you to do so. They're available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, as is her biography written by Raymond Arroyo, which I'm going to tell you, it's a fantastic read and a fantastic audiobook. book. I've read it and I've listened to it, and it's just filled with treasures. But she used to say, listen, go to confession and then afterwards take yourself out and get yourself a great big ice cream sundae. So
like
you have
that.
Spaghetti and meatballs, but it's the same idea, right? It's a celebration. That's what she was saying. Celebrate. You know, you've been made new by the blood of the Lamb and the sacrament of confession. Yay.
And you don't expect that you're going to feel that way afterwards. You don't expect it at all. And you walk out of there just like feel like you're walking on air. And I thought, wow. I mean, I had no idea that sin was so burdensome. That it just weighed me down, you know?
It
just weighed me down. I had no idea until after I had confessed all this really lousy, bad stuff. And I got all off my chest, and I just was never the same again after that. I will truly say I was never the same again after that.
Yeah. I know.
That changed me.
It's such a gift. It's such a gift. So, you know, I guess basically, you know, even in light of the things that we're talking about with regard to the new age, you know, if you've been involved in those things, don't carry this burden around any longer. You don't have to. You don't have to. You know, you can be freed from it. And I think it was Padre Pio that said something like, you know, one good confession is better than 100 exorcisms or something like that. Right. So, you know, these are the normal, ordinary means that are available to us. So take advantage of them and then gird yourself up, because, you know, there is something to be said that, you know, remember that story in scripture where the individual is freed from the demon, but then, you know, seven more demons came in and took up that space. When we've been relieved of these things, we need to fill it up. Right? We need to fill up that space that's been vacated. And we fill it up by way of the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit in through the spiritual practices, that some of which we're outlining for you. But we could go on and on all day. Daniel is with us from Oklahoma. And I want to affirm you, Daniel, in your perseverance and your patience. We're going to get to you right after this break. We want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here today. It's Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're talking about the stuff that we talk about on Wednesdays, the weird and the wacky things that we see going on out there. This is your time to ask questions, hopefully to get answers. They're going to be useful and beneficial to you in your walk of faith. 833-288-3986. Also, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Get on out there. Use whatever means. Just join us. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live today. I'm Jonette Williams. Absolutely delighted to be with you. I am joined here by Sue Brinkman. And it is Wednesday. It is Wacky Wednesday. We talk about the strange things that we see happening. We try to give you good insight. We try to unpack what it is that you're saying share with you why that is within the heart of the church or why it is not within the heart of the church. That's what we do on Wednesdays. We love doing it because we love serving the people of God, and that's you. Yay. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. In addition to all of that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat features there. Pedro Quiles will go out there, and guess what he's going to do? Retrieve your questions or comments that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Matt Kubensky is answering the phones today, so he'll take your call and get you up on the board. Rich Jesse is producing. Sue Brinkman is with us all the way up there in the Philadelphia area of Pennsylvania, and I am here in Birmingham, Alabama. But we are happy to be with you wherever you are today. Well, Sue, let's get to Daniel, because he's been so patient with us. He is in Oklahoma listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. And Daniel, we are very happy to have you. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. So you've got a question for us?
Yes. I was just running what do you think of the parody icon Buddy Christ in the movie Dogma, where he's winking and pointing his fingers?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of it either. Yeah, because Dogma was just that was a mockery of Christianity, that the whole film was, really. He is trying to make it fun, and people are trying to make it into something that's fun, but a lot of people don't like that, especially the Sacred Heart. That statue, the Buddy, does have the Sacred Heart on it. Jesus suffered and died for love for us. And I'm just thinking, no, this is not really the way people want to see him. Now, maybe some do, but I have never really been a fan of that image of him. So kind of that's my opinion on it. I'm just not a fan.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm not a fan, Danielle. I'm not a fan because I don't think that we ought to trivialize our Lord and Savior. And, you know, this attempt to be culturally significant or relatable doesn't work. It really just does not work, because what it does is it doesn't elevate the human person. It's bringing God down to our level, not raising the human person up to his level, which is what we're supposed to be about. So, you know, religious symbols, of course, we know that, you know, this is not Jesus. We know that it's not, we don't look at our statues in our Catholic faith or at our pictures, you know, we don't make idols out of them. We know that this is a depiction and it's a rendering. It's one person's, you know, perspective on what Jesus might have looked like, you know, or, you know, what they think he might have represented. But here's the fact of the matter. What is the purpose of these religious items? What is the purpose of a religious image, whether it be in a painting? I'm sitting here right now before this beautiful, beautiful image of Jesus' divine mercy. You know, I'm looking to my left and see Jesus on this tremendously beautiful, crucifix. I make a hard left and I see baby Jesus in the arms of Saint Joseph. Why do we surround ourselves with these images? It's to elevate our minds and our hearts to God, to be inspired by the grace that God wants us to be received. And I think that when we trivialize these things, you know, we have a bobblehead of a saint or something, I don't find them cute. You know, I find them in a way rather demeaning. We're diminishing, you know, the reality of who they are, especially when it's regarding our Blessed Lord and the Holy Family, Saint Joseph and our Blessed Lady, you know, and the saints as well. So that's what I think about it, Sue.
Yeah, and I look at the Divine Mercy images, now that you mentioned them, and the one that I have hanging up, it's almost life size in my dining room. So that whenever I love it when contractors and stuff come into the house and they see that. They walk around the corner, when they come, they just see this giant image of Jesus on the wall. That's the man of the house is what I tell them. But anyway, I like the Hyla image. That's the one that I feel like when I looked into that face, that it was so calm and peaceful and gentle and yet strong.
Yes.
That I was very drawn to that particular one. And that's the image that I actually have in my house.
Now, which one is it again?
It's called the Hyla, H-Y-L-A.
Okay.
Image, rather than the Vilnius. The Vilnius one kind of frightened me a little bit. I didn't like that one as much. But this one, and I actually had some friends. This was during the early days of my conversion. And I remember just sitting there at a party and showing her this picture. I said, now, how can you not talk to that face? Look at that face. How can you not talk to him? And I know my friend just looked at me like, Sue, what happened to you? Did you fall out of a tree? What are you doing with a picture of Jesus in your purse? You know, it was, you know, that really spoke, that image, his face. If you put it up on your computer and you look at his face, it is so gentle and yet so strong. And I found it to be very inviting. I don't need Buddy Christ. I don't need him giving me the thumbs up.
No, I don't either. That. No. And that's the one that we have is the Hyla. Yeah, the Vilnius
is, okay.
Yeah, the other one is the one with the dark, the black background, correct?
Yeah,
really dark.
It was a little scary. It was a little scary to me. I don't know. I didn't like that one. I just didn't like it as much, not nearly as much as the Hyla. But I don't know, Daniel, what do you think about that image? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I've never seen the movie. I just find the icon a little silly, that's all.
Yeah,
silly.
It is silly.
Yeah, there's another good word. That's a good word for it. It is silly. I'm sure, like, maybe some of the younger people like it, although I will have to say most of the younger people that I know of are starting to go back more toward the traditional end of Catholicism. But I'm sure that there are some people out there who might be very attracted to it. But once they find out where it came from dogma. You know, Kevin Smith's movie, and he, you know, was not known for being a lover of Christianity. And that's not what the movie was about. So that kind of puts the kibosh on it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, silly is a really good word for it, Daniel. It's silly, you know, and we don't want to make Jesus look silly. Yeah. But I appreciate your question today. We thank you so very, very much for calling in. And we appreciate it when you do call us, friends. So do give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. We're available for you. Matt Gabensky will take your call and get you up on the board. We'll be able to address it. Out there in social media land is Pedro Quiles, and he will be only too happy to collect your questions that you leave there, and we want to hear what is on your heart and on your mind today. You know, go ahead, Sue, and share with us a little bit more about Father Rossetti's blog, because, you know, Father Rossetti truly gives us great insight. And one of the things that he doesn't do, and I really don't know any exorcist that does do this, is to sensationalize all of these things. He keeps it very level, even keel with it.
He really does. He's a very good man. I mean, he will respond to you personally. He did to me when I wrote to him a couple times. And I have sent people to his organization, and he tries to help as many people as he can. But he said that he's very limited. He just can't do everything that he would like to do. He's very, very limited. And that's why I think he put out this blog, which was so beneficial to people, to let them know that this is within your reach. You don't necessarily have to panic and think you need an exorcist just because you're experiencing oppression or obsession of some sort. You know, oppression would be just having a lot of things go wrong in your life, and bleeding financially and stuff like that, and your family having fighting all the time all of a sudden. This would be signs of oppression. Obsession would be a little bit more interior, where you'd like have insomnia, obsessive thoughts and stuff like that. If you have things like that from dabbling around in anything, really, this could come from anything from, you know, Reiki to yoga to divination practices, even reading horoscopes and astrology. All of this can open doors, and you can begin to experience forms of oppression and obsession. Anything like that that you might be having, you can take care of that just by returning more fully to your faith, going to confession, confessing what you've done, and closing those doors, and perhaps using a deliverance prayer or two, which you can find on his website. I think you could do that. Other thing that we overlook a lot is pray to your guardian angel. Pray to him every day. You have it, what I call him my celestial bodyguard, because that's who he is. He's right there at your side 24/7. And pray to him and ask him to protect you. Ask for additional protection. These spiritual realities are real.
Yes.
And the way you find them out is when you experience in them. It's almost got to be experiential for you to really understand this. This is for real. You ask that guardian angel to help you because you're suffering from some kind of what you believe is oppression from a demon. You've been cursed or something like that. You ask him for help and watch what happens. Yeah. You will get help. You will definitely get help. And I think that that's another good suggestion. And I think that what he says is the majority of the people who think they need an exorcist really don't need one.
Right.
So hopefully that could make some people feel better. You really don't need that.
You just have, you just have to get to confession.
Exactly. Know? And you get back to that faith and understand that it's a slow, steady process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You're going to have to stick with this until you finally find liberation. Mm-hmm. As he ends his blog, he says, this life is difficult and often a veil of tears. Trust in Jesus.
Amen.
And one other thing, John, and if I could bring up, I had listened to a video from Father Chad Ripperger, the exorcist from out in Colorado. He did a video. This was a year ago now that I saw this video. I never forgot it. It was so important that when he has people come to him who are oppressed, obsessed, vexatious, or possessed, he puts them on a 30-day regimen. And in this 30-day regimen, that person has to get up at a certain time every day. They have to pray certain prayers at certain times every day, certain devotions at certain times every day. He said that in the end of that 30 days, 80% of those people have been healed, short of possession, short of possession.
Wow.
All the other, short of possession, 80%, just from a 30-day regimen. And he says, the reason why, he says, it's a military. Look at a military analogy. If you're up against an army where the guys are just kind of fooling around on the weekends, they don't take care of their weapons, they don't train, or attacking one who are in training all the time, making sure that their weapons are honed, which one of those two are you going to attack? Yeah. You're going to attack the weak one. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happens here. The minute they started to get some discipline in their spiritual life, all of a sudden, the devil didn't want them anymore. It was too much work.
Well, and again,
he didn't want it to be anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, and that goes right back to what we talked about today, about Lent being a really good time to begin to insert into our daily routine spiritual practices. You know, the devil can't stand up underneath that. He just can't. Let's get to Paul. He's in Howell, New Jersey today, listening to us via domestic church media. Hello to the Manfredonias there. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hi, John Ed. Good morning. And good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. What do you want to share with us today?
I was wondering if either of you have seen the commercial. It's a major car dealer, and the commercial starts off by an individual sitting in a confessional confessing to a priest what he paid for this car. But he starts off like a sincere confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And then he goes on and whispers to the priest about this. And then the next thing you see is the priest is running down to the car dealership to buy a car. I really found it offensive, and I'm not too thin-skinned, but I was just curious if anybody had seen it and what you felt about it.
Well, I'd like to see if anybody would dare to make a commercial, that in some way is incorporating a religious practice of the Muslim faith into it, or the Jewish faith into it, right? Boy, oh boy, that wouldn't last long. And the fact of the matter is, for whatever reason, it seems as though the Catholic Church, our spiritual practices, are always the ones held up for ridicule and receives the approbation of the viewing public. It's terrible. And this goes right back to the Buddy Christ image, you know, trivializing things that are very sacred, trivializing.
Yes.
It's very upsetting,
yes.
Paul.
I wouldn't have liked it either.
And like the Dorito, and like the Dorito commercial, which mimicked the Holy Communion. I mean,
oh, that was terrible.
I'm not a thin-skinned person, but these things are really offensive. It's very sad.
It is. Yeah. It's very poorly informed. Very poorly informed. I don't know who the advertisers are on that confession commercial, but they ought to be fired, because that's really inappropriate. Inappropriate uses the mockery of someone's religion. And I'm hoping that people write to them and tell them that they didn't like it.
Yeah.
They did not like it, and they were, you know, certainly not going to run to your car dealership because you make fun of Catholics. So I guess you don't want my business.
That's exactly right. Very, very right. Well, Paul, thank you for calling in today. And again, Sue, I mean, it just reminds us how vigilant we have to be, right? How vigilant we have to be. Yeah, Paul, it's an awful thing. It's a very awful thing. Well, thanks for calling in, Paul. Always good to hear from you. And we've got Cindy with us. Cindy is in Oklahoma, and she is a first-time caller, and I am happy to ring my bell for Cindy. Welcome, Cindy. So what is your question today?
Good morning. I've received a gift from a priest, and it was a blessed item. He's from another country, and he went to his home country and purchased items that he brought back for people here in Oklahoma. And he gave me this necklace, which again is blessed, but it's Hello Kitty beads. And I don't know what to do with this. It's a blessed item, but it's not I don't think it's appropriate. And he probably has no idea what it is or what those beads were. He probably just got a collection of them and had, picked them up at the gift shop there. But just using something of an image of Hello Kitty and then having it blessed. What do I do with this?
Do you mean that? Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No. Go. You go.
Do you mean that the necklace itself is made out of those little beads that have the Hello Kitty images on them?
Yes, they're black and white. Yes, okay. They are.
You know, I
think it's unusual.
I'm scratching my head on this whole thing because, Cindy, you know, we don't bless. Okay, I'm going to use this word, profane items. And here I'm using profane in the sense of the church. What is a profane item? It's an item that is not sacred, right? It's an everyday item. So we don't bless those things. At least in my way of thinking, I don't think that we don't go through our house and just start blessing everything, you know, or having a priest. We will bless the house. We'll bless the dwelling, asking for the Holy Spirit to be present in that home, our Lord Jesus Christ, Father God. But, you know, I've just never really heard of anything like that before. So, and of course he's a priest, and I'm sure that he was well-meaning, but it's the most unusual thing I think I've heard of in a long time. So what would you advise Cindy do?
I don't think that there's any danger in keeping those beads. It's just not something that I would wear them or use them. They are a blessed object. So, you know, there's special ways that you would have to dispose of them if you were to try to get rid of them. They would have to be broken apart, burned if possible, and the ashes of that spread in running water or buried in the ground after being blessed with holy. I mean, it's a long thing you have to do if you wanted to just get rid of it. And I don't think you need to do that because I don't think there's anything demonic about it. It's just like what you're saying, John Ed. It's just the use of, you know, objects that are not considered to be sacred and then blessing them.
Right.
It is odd. It's very odd. It's a very good question, Cindy. That's one for the ages for Wacky Wednesday, because it is a strange necklace. That's a very strange situation that he would have given that to you and then blessed it. But it is a blessing.
I would
guard it that way.
Yeah, what I might do, Cindy, is I might ask another priest, you know, I wouldn't involve the name of the priest, obviously, who gave this to you or say anything about it or give any history. Just say, you know, somebody gave this to me and it was blessed by a priest. So what do you think? And then I would just kind of see what they say about that. But you are, I mean, you know. He, and when he blessed it, did he just make the sign of cross over it, or did he bless it with holy water, or, you know, what does that mean exactly when in his estimation or your estimation when he says it was blessed? So
he gave my husband to give to me, and he said I blessed this, but what I believe happened is he probably purchased or he probably got several items from a gift shop at this church in his home country, and has no idea what it is that he blessed.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't realize because he probably blessed everything at the same time.
That's probably true.
But
why don't you ask him?
The concerning thing is it's in a shrine and it's being sold in a gift shop and it's Hello Kitty.
The whole thing is strange. It just keeps getting stranger.
True.
You might ask him. You might ask him, Father, do you know what this image is? You know?
Right.
And just see and say, because I was just surprised, you know, I've never received just a regular necklace, especially one with a, you know, cartoon type character on it that has been blessed. So, I wish we could give you more. You stumped us with that one, Cindy. But hopefully we've given you some course of action to take there. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. We just have... you know, we just have 2 minutes left here, and we have Susan wanting to know, when you realize you have opened the doors, how do you stop it from attacking your children? That's a good question, Sue. I'm going to let you answer that. And then Paul wanted to know if we could compare and contrast voodoo and the New Age. So can you do that in 2 minutes, answer those questions,
Sue?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, well,
go for
voodoo,
it.
For one thing, voodoo is a religion that involves magic, spirits, and ancestors, and all of those things are very content under the umbrella of the New Age. So the two of them can all be together because the New Age embraces the occult. But voodoo is an occult practice. It is an occult practice, whereas a lot of New Age stuff isn't necessarily a cult, but it is just, you know, based on pantheism and that sort of thing. But that would be the difference between those two. And as far as protecting your children, you need, first of all, to have that protection yourself. Make sure that you've gone to confession, closed that door, and then pray specifically for the protection of your children. You might even consider going to CatholicExorcism.org and looking at a couple of prayers on there that might be good, deliverance prayers that might be good for your family. That you could pray over your children, and just making sure that your home environment is, you know, your home has blessed objects in it and that sort of thing. That's the best way, I think, to keep your children protected.
Yeah. And to have your home blessed, Susan, right? And pray the rosary with your children, even if you just begin with a decade a night. Well, hopefully that helps you. Sue, it's been great today. Thank you so much for being with us, as you are every Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday every Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live. We love being with you, too. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. Yes, I am, and I'm looking forward to that. Get your questions ready. Give me a call. You know the number. Until we are together again, God bless you, and a blessed, blessed Ash Wednesday to you. Bye-bye now.